Good morning, everybody. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Today is Wednesday, March the 13th. It is the day that the Lord has made, so let us rejoice and be glad in it. I pray you all are doing well, or that you're feeling better, and that things are beginning to turn around for you. Many of you are familiar with Apple products, from Apple phones, watches, iPads, and computers. We live in a tech age. Computers are everywhere. But it's only a recent thing when you think about it. Just three generations ago, the chairman of IBM declared there is a world market for only, get this, five computers. As recently as 1977, the president of digital equipment claimed there is no reason anyone would want a computer in their home. The revolution was brought to us in large part by Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computers. Jobs was just 21 when he and Steve Wozniak invented the Apple computer. Until then, computers were a big monstrous mass of vacuum tubes, and it took up like two rooms. Then the two Steves managed to take that mass of tubes and incorporate them inside a box small enough to sit on a desk. Jobs and Wozniak offered their invention to Atari. Atari said, "Nah, we're not interested." They offered it to Hewlett Packard, but HP was like, "Nah, we don't need it." So Jobs sold his Volkswagen and Wozniak sold his calculator. And with $1,300, get this, they formed Apple Computers. And the rest is history. By all accounts, Steve Jobs was a visionary. But Jobs soon discovered that if his vision was to reach fruition, they needed greater management ability. So Jobs approached John Sculley, the then president of PepsiCo. There was no reason for Sculley to leave his high-paying job to go work for a bunch of computer nerds in a fledgling industry. And so he turned them down, but Jobs wouldn't take no for an answer. He approached Sculley again, and Sculley said no. And in one last-ditch effort, Jobs presented this visionary idea to Sculley, and he asked him one simple question. Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? This morning, Jesus comes to us, church, with the same question. Do you want to spend the rest of your life selling sugared water, or do you want a chance to change the world? Most of us, if we're honest, we spend our lives making sugared water instead of changing the world, wasting our gifts, wasting our talents and abilities, time and energy. You know, it's an aeronautical fact that if you build a plane and put it in the hangar, but don't fly it and just let it rest in the hangar, after several years of sitting in the hangar idle, the motor would be no good. Conversely, if you build a plane and let that plane fly with frequency around the nation and around the world, that motor will in fact need routine service and maintenance, but it'll be in better condition than the one that stood still. The reason that the plane that is flying is in better shape than the plane that is standing still is because the plane that is flying, here it is operating out of its purpose. But the one that is sitting still starts to erode because it isn't functioning in the purpose it was designed. Many of us today are falling apart because we are parked in a hangar and our daily routines are not allowing our abilities, our skill set, and our gifts to fly. Have you ever felt like you're going through just going through the motions, existing but not truly living? Stuck in a routine, your days blurring together without a sense of true purpose or fulfillment? Well, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 offers a powerful response to the feeling of being stuck in a hangar. It declares these words, "For we are God's masterpiece. God created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." This verse reminds us of two vital truths: one, identity, and two, purpose. Identity: we are not simply existing, but we are God's masterpiece, uniquely crafted with inherent value and potential. And then purpose, that we are not destined for a life of aimless routine. God has designed us with a specific purpose. The Bible says good things he planned for us to accomplish. You've heard me say this before, but I want to say it again, that a significant obstacle in identifying our purpose is the tendency to begin with our own desires and aspirations. We ask ourselves, well, what do I want to do? Instead of seeking God's guidance and understanding, who has God created me to be? When talking about purpose, we have to wrap our minds around God's omniscience, that is, his all-encompassing knowledge, and how that knowledge extends beyond merely observing the present. Scripture paints a profound picture of God existing outside the constraints of time, intimately aware of our existence even before our physical conception, with passages like Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you came out of the womb, I separated you. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And the psalmist even declares, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." Both passages emphasizes this remarkable truth. Don't miss it. God knew us before we were born. Now, this knowledge transcends mere awareness or a theological concept. It signifies a deliberate act of creation, a divine sculptor meticulously crafting each soul with a unique purpose woven into the very fabric of their being. Understanding this truth carries profound implications for comprehending our purpose in life. One, it sheds light on our preordained potential. The idea that God knew us before birth suggests a preordained potential within each individual, that our inherent skills and talents and personality traits are not random occurrences, but carefully designed aspects of our being. They are the tools he has equipped us with to fulfill the specific purpose that God has envisioned for our lives. Psalm 139 declares it beautifully. "Your eyes saw my uninformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." This verse emphasizes, church, that the blueprint of our lives, the very days that make up our journey, were established by God even before we were born. But watch this. I want you not to get it twisted. Our preordained potential doesn't negate our free will. While God possesses the knowledge of our purpose, God grants us the agency to choose how we navigate life's path. Our responsibility lies in discovering our role within the grand narrative God is writing. For those of you who keep beating your head against the wall, trying to figure out your purpose, let me just give you a shortcut. Let's just cut across the field. Your purpose in life is to become like Christ. That's your purpose. That's your purpose. God's plan has always been to make us like Jesus. God wants us to develop the character of Jesus, the mind of Christ, the way Christ acts, the way he moves in the world, the way he values the marginalized and the downcast, his moral character. And he wants us to do this through a process called discipleship. You want to learn your purpose, you have to understand the value of discipleship. But it's a process. That's the key word. Becoming like Christ is a process. It's a process. It's a lifelong journey. Maybe that's why the Bible pictures life as a marathon and not a sprint, a journey, not an arrival. I like the way Eugene Peterson says it. He says, becoming like Jesus is the result of a long obedience in the same direction. I like that, a long obedience in the same direction. In fact, the Greek word for disciple means learner, not expert, because the truth is we are always learning more about what it means to become like Christ. I'm leery of people who got an expert in Christology, you know, who got an expert in what it means to be like Christ. I'm leery of that because discipleship is a long obedience in the same direction. It's a process. So since we were created to become like Christ, and since becoming like Christ is a process, how does God help us to move along in this lifelong process? How does God help us to grow spiritually? Because you do know that God does help us, right? In fact, it is God himself who initiates and superintends our spiritual growth. God is the architect, the foreman of our lives, supervising every detail of the building up of our faith. Now, if you had to list some things that God uses to help us to grow more like Christ, that is to fulfill our ultimate purpose, what would you come up with? Maybe you would list things like Bible study and fellowshipping with other believers. And if you did, you would be correct. God uses both of those tools extensively. However, that's not enough. He uses more than that to transform us such that we learn to think like Jesus and act like Jesus and value the things that Jesus values and love people that he loves. The fact is, God doesn't just use Bible study and fellowshipping, but God uses everything to conform us to the image of his son. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this: in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. When you get a chance, I want you to just underscore that in your Bible: in all things. In all things, for the good and his purpose. Now, you need to get this, because there is an erroneous teaching out there that suggests that everything will turn out for your good. Romans 8:28 does not mean that everything will turn out okay in this life. It means, however, that everything will work out for our ultimate good in all things. I mean, those are some strong words, because all things is utterly comprehensive, having no qualifications or limits. All means all, with no exceptions, not just some things, but all things. It includes your present trouble, your aching head, your heavy heart, all things: the failed marriage, the rebellious child, the insufficient funds, the flaky friends, all things for the good, his purpose. It may not feel good, but it is for our good to accomplish his plan for our life. I was at the pharmacy one day. I think I told y'all this. I was at the pharmacy one day, ear hustling, on a conversation between the customer and the doctor. And the pharmacist took an empty bottle and put into it some liquid out of one bottle and some powder out of another bottle, and then mixed it together and put a label on it. The doctor explained to the customer, before you take this prescription, you need to shake the bottle. He explained to her that all those different medicines work together for the good of her situation. Then he said, the liquid may be disagreeable to the taste, but the substance in the medicine is good for you. And I said to myself, man, that's some good stuff right there. Because some things, church, may be disagreeable to our taste. We may encounter some bitter situations, and even the bitter, disagreeable things which God allows to reach us, we are all for our good, because once God's sovereignty mixes with our weakness, what we thought was designed to take us out was actually meant to build us up. God uses unexpected things to build us, to shape us, to conform us into the image of God's Son. While individual callings and unique roles exist within God's grand plan, striving to embody the characteristics of Christ serves as the overarching purpose of our lives. What is the purpose for our life? Our purpose is to become like Christ. And I want to spend the rest of this week talking about what that looked like. What does Christ likeness looks like? All right. But let me encourage you, because maybe some of you are grappling with the question of purpose this morning, wrestling with feelings of uncertainty and wondering what your unique role might be. I want you to find peace in the knowledge, one, that you're not alone. I mean, many individuals embark on this introspective journey, seeking to understand their place within God's grand narrative. Remember, God doesn't create without a purpose. God has woven a unique tapestry of talents and skills and experiences into the very fabric of your being. These are not mere coincidences. They are the tools that God has entrusted to you to contribute to his work in the world. So I want you to embrace the discovery, the journey of discovery today. I want you to seek God's guidance through prayer, and I want you to start delving deeper into scripture and allow God to reveal God's unique calling for your life. Because as you actively develop your gifts and explore your interests and step outside your comfort zone, the path will gradually become clearer. So I want you to trust today. Trust that the very act of seeking your purpose is a testament to your desire to live a meaningful life. Let me say that again. Trust that the very act of seeking your purpose is a testament to your desire to live a meaningful life. And I want you to hold on to the promise of Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, everything, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So welcome. Welcome to the first day of the rest of your life. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. All we got is right now. If this is your first time on the call, I want to welcome you. My name is Marcus D. Collins, and I'm a part of an amazing community called Grace Community Church. And we are so thrilled that you decided to share this space with us this morning. Remember, church, embrace the journey. Utilize your gifts and allow your life to be a reflection of Christ's love in the world, because in doing so, you will experience the profound fulfillment that comes from living a life aligned with your God-given purpose. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for another opportunity to breathe, another day's journey. We recognize that last night could have been our last night, that we had no guarantee that we would be here this morning. In fact, so many people laid down last night, had plans this morning, but didn't wake up. So, Lord, we thank you for encamping your best angels around our beds last night. You made death behave and you woke us up this morning knowing the joys of a new day. So we thank you for breath in our lungs. We thank you for the warmth of the sun on our skin. We thank you for the laughter that surrounds us. Lord, we even thank you for the burdens. We thank you for the heartache. We thank you for the disappointments, because in all things, you are working it together for our good. So, Lord, help us to embrace this day with a new perspective, a new outlook, with a renewed mind. Lord, we confess that our sins are many, and we ask that you would forgive us for all of our sins, that you would cleanse us thoroughly of our iniquities, washing us in the blood of the Lamb, creating within us a clean heart and renewing within us the right spirit. Father, my prayer today for your people is simple, and that is that you give us a heavenly perspective on this life. Help us not to be distracted by the things of this world, but to constantly turn our gaze towards you. Father, help us to have perspective and to see with clear eyes both the hardships and the blessings of our lives, and how both are designed to transform us into the image of your Son. Lord, as we are tempted to despair over hardships, remind us that you never let us go through trouble without gifting us a measure of your goodness and your grace and your peace and your love. So as we reflect on our blessings today, help us to bless others. Lord, give us the right perspective on the life that you have given us. Grant us traveling grace and mercy as we move about today. We come against all freak accidents, anything that would prevent us from arriving to our destination safe, sound, and secure. Help us to be the light in someone's dark place today, Father. Thank you for Jesus, our victor. And because he was victorious, we can claim that we got the victory. It's in that name we pray. Come on, everybody shout amen, amen. Hey, listen, thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I pray that the call was a blessing. As always, it will be uploaded to our website this morning at gracechurchal.com. Hey, listen, be in prayer for our volunteers today as we prepare to serve our neighbors with our walk-in pantry at Grace Church, 5060 Vaughn Road. We're serving the community today, and we're showing them what grace looks like at street level. Hey, listen, I'm praying for you today. I hope you have a great and productive day. I am rooting for you. So be mindful, be watchful, and be encouraged. Peace.